Yo, 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 what's going on, people? It's your boy Kem. Welcome back to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Got some Perico playing in the background, some old Perico. Straight out of St. Thomas. One of my favorite rappers. I don't know if y'all can hear in the background as well. The weather is atrocious in Atlanta. So if you hear some thunders rolling, forgive me, don't be scared. But welcome back, man. It's been a beautiful last few months on the podcast, especially for the because of the series that we had going on, which was the mental health and entrepreneurship series. And we had a few people on here and got to share their stories, and you know, I just wanted to really come back and have a recap and just share what I learned, honestly, in this whole thing. Mental health has, you know, been a topic of conversation for a long time, whether it has been addressed properly or, you know, not. We've been knowing about mental health. However, you know, we are talking about it more these days, and I'm grateful that I started getting mine on track, and I'm way behind, you know, as it applies. Once again, you're gonna hear this bad weather in the background. Shout out to Atlanta and these mini hurricanes we always have. Hopefully, this one lasts pretty quickly, or goes away pretty quickly, as they usually do, but sometimes they last longer. But anyway, so for me, I've been really kind of delving into my own personal mental health for the past, I would say, a year now, but really more so, you know, more seriously in 2020 for sure. And you recognize quickly that we honestly weren't prepared properly, or weren't educated properly on the topic. So a lot of this is new to us. When I say us, I mean my age group. And everybody, I guess, is honestly dealing with it. If you're really doing the proper work now, then, you know, maybe you could be older as well, learning about the proper ways to handle your mental. So, you know, I won't even put an age on it, honestly. But for me, you know, this year I've really been seeking help and doing the necessary reading and doing my best to unlearn a lot of the bad habits and the bad seeds that were planted, you know, subliminally or intentionally, that we didn't know about, or maybe we weren't old enough or mature enough to really address it. So with that being said, you know, having a mental health awareness month was perfect to me to be able to have a themed podcast, you know, based around that. And I'm grateful for everybody who did hop on the podcast, specifically for that reason or otherwise. You know, Kian Corlise, Chelsea Nicholas, Sean David, Daniel Joseph. And of course, if you all been listening, we saw that there was a bonus episode with Pressure. And even though we weren't really talking about mental health per se, you know, just being able to hear his story and learn from it was special in itself. So we could like even start there to recap for Pressure. You know, it was really about his upbringing and his path to become, you know, the mega reggae star that he is today. And some of the things that I learned from that episode was, look, it takes a village. You know, no matter how we like to, you know, glorify self-made this and I did it that way and I didn't need no help, you know, we all need somebody. And in Precious Story, I think one of the most underlying things that you recognized once he was talking about his upbringing was that, you know, he couldn't have done it without special people in his life, like his mom, like his dad, like his uncle. You know, if you listen to the episode, he had talked about his strict uncle that lived in Valdosta when his mom moved him to Valdosta because, you know, he was starting to get into the wrong things as it applies to the street life. And, you know, everybody was necessary to holding him on course to being the best version of himself until he figured it out for himself, you know, because when we're young, we're a little ignorant and we're a little naive and we want to do it our way and we want to hang with our friends and our parents and our OGs. They might be saying, hey, man, this person ain't good for you or this ain't the way to go. But, you know, as youngsters, we want to, you know, we feel superior. We feel bulletproof in a lot of ways. So we want to do it our way. But, you know, even when he started doing it his way, nope, they didn't give up on him. You know, they just did their best to find ways to positively reinforce and double down in a lot of ways to help him see his potential and hold him on the right path. So that was beautiful in itself. And just the hard work that goes into it, you know what I'm saying? Successful people, it's rare that successful people fluked it. And no matter how many people you think are born into money and all of that kind of stuff, you know, it's still up to you to take the resources you have and, you know, and multiply upon that. You know, with the story of the talents in the Bible, if you're familiar, you know, Jesus gave the, you know, some talents out. Or I don't think it was Jesus that gave out the talents, but like this guy gave some talents out to some people and told them, you know, go ahead and like multiply them, you know, and do what you can with them. And, you know, a lot of people went with the talent and they didn't know what to do with it. Or those who did, the few who did do something with it, you know, did it in a certain way. But, and I'm messing up the story. I'm messing up the story, but you know the parable of the talents. You want to be able to like multiply your talents. You know what I'm saying? You want to be able to work on your talents. So you have to be able to take what you have and build upon it and master yourself as much as possible, which is a great segue to Kian, because the topic, her topic for her episode was mastering yourself. The title of her topic was mastering yourself. And for me, listening to Kian, you recognize that she wants to be the best version of herself. And and that applies to her skills as a fashion designer, that applies to her skills as a photographer, that applies to her skills, whether it's like creative direction, you know, it doesn't matter. She wants to always be the best version of herself, and that includes her mental health as well. And she made it clear that, look, you're more than what you do. You're a human being. And that's in itself, that's a powerful, powerful statement. Because a lot of the time we get wrapped up in who we, you know, we wrap up who we are in what we do. Oh, I do this. Oh, I rap. Oh, I'm a musician. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Oh, I'm a successful businessman. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And you let that define you. And a lot of the time we suppress a lot of the things that really matter. And the things that we really need to take care of, like our mental health. And she was like, look, man, before I'm any of this stuff that y'all see, I'm a human being. So when my mental health is crying out for attention, I'm going to give it that attention, what no matter what that looks like. And I thought that was really, really a major key, because at the end of the day, we all have found ways to ignore dealing with our mental health, period. So if you're gonna do a million things, and if you want to be a successful person, you know, just like you're making the money and just like you're working and grinding and, you know, doing all these things to set yourself up in a better place in the world, make sure that you're doing that with your mental health as well. Our next, let me see, the next person we'll talk about that we had on, let's go to my boy Sean David. Cool cat. He's a dad. He's a creative as well. And we really got into talking about black men, some of the things we deal with, fatherhood, and him just feeling like he has to be the best version of himself to teach his son how to become the best version of himself. So before he could teach his son, he has to first do the work on himself. And I thought that was a major key. Because a lot of times we learn it on the fly, you know, as human beings, we learn on the fly. And what with learning on the fly, some things are going to get left on the side. Some things are going to get left behind. And we have to help our fellow man. But a lot of the time we end up helping people and leave ourselves behind. And I think it's becoming more and more evident that we all, to help one person, because you can't help everybody. So to help whoever it is that you can help, you have to make sure that you're helping yourself. And find ways to build yourself up. Find ways to nurture yourself. Find ways to care for yourself. Find ways to attract what it is that you want to be. And attract who it is you want to be. And that type of mindset, I feel like, gives you a better chance at having a well-rounded approach to life, period. You know? Sean and I were also talking about just right now being black in America. And of course, you know, unless you live on Pluto, and even if you live in Pluto, I do believe that the aliens on Pluto right now know exactly what it is that's going on Earth. And they probably out there protesting saying Black Lives Matter as well. Or aliens' lives matter, but whatever. They're still a minority, so they know what it is to be, you know, at least they have an idea of what it means to be one of us. But the world is on fire right now. The whole freaking world. And it was already on fire because of the pandemic. And that put us in the house and that put us away and essentially sat us down. You know, we did some, you know, it felt like we did a 3-month bid in jail. And I don't mean jail in like the negative way, because I feel like a lot of good things are coming out. But I do feel like sometimes when you sit somebody down in a jail or whatever, you give them time to think and reflect, and now they can, if they do take the jail time seriously and find ways to make themselves better, they start doing work to become better citizens or to better themselves. They try to reform themselves. And I think that's what the pandemic did in a lot of ways. If you were taking it seriously, you found ways in the silence to address things that you probably were using as an excuse. You're using regular life and the busyness of life as an excuse to not address it. So now we have that time, we're sitting down, like, sit, you know, God is like, yo, sit down. Sit down for a few months, guys. Because y'all missing the picture here. Y'all missing the big picture. So, you know, now we have, you know, the George Floyd thing and many others, Breonna Taylor, and they still need to arrest, as of today, they still haven't arrested the officers for Breonna Taylor. Let's just put that out there. But yeah, you know, we are out here right now, as black as we can be, as strong as we can be, giving our voice and lending our influence and our you know, our beings to trying to really make a change. And that's tough. You know, it's tough on the mental. It's tough on the physical. But it's necessary. So now you have to find that balance. And because Sean's episode was about men's mental health, we really got into, you know, some of the ways as men, you know, that we can find positive and productive ways to cater to our mental health. Because it's been this taboo thing for so long. And now that we are in a place where being open about it is welcomed, you are starting to see and hear the cries of a lot of us. And, you know, it really touches home for me too, because I have a homie of mine, Kaheem Thomas, rest in peace, who just passed a few weeks ago, who had been suffering with mental health issues. And in us being hurt that he passed so soon, and he's my age, 30 years old, you know, that's young. You know, and it shows that mental health doesn't have an age group. It doesn't have a skin color. It doesn't have a look. It simply doesn't have a look. We all can be susceptible to mental health issues. We all can be susceptible to having a mental breakdown, a nervous breakdown. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? You know, and as I said, with the Kaheem thing, you saw it in many different ways online, how it manifested itself in us speaking out about it. And it might not have been the best way at the time, but you could see the genuine hurt with people trying to place blame on something or some system that let him down. Whether it was the church, which we all grew up in, whether it was the school that we all went to, whether it was the government that governs the Virgin Islands. And I'm going to speak directly to the government. Whoever this can get as close to, senators, whatever, governor, whatever, we have to really put a magnifying glass on this mental health issue in the Virgin Islands. It's getting to a place where we are getting younger and younger with the people that we are seeing on the street with mental health issues, without proper facilities. We building all the friggin' hotels and all the, you know, like, okay, legal, you know, marijuana is legal. Great. Hey, I'm for it. But like, let's not ignore a very huge elephant in the room. And that huge elephant is mental health facilities not being a thing. There's no reason that people with mental health issues need to go to a jail. Granted, if they do something that is jail worthy, yes, I guess you're gonna have to pair it up somehow with mental health aid and something, because, you know, I get it, law of the land. But for the most part, they need mental health facility. They need to go to a mental doctor, period. And the fact that people who are suffering from mental health, who are in danger, who probably not only an endangerment to themselves but to others, they're being put in prison. Can you imagine being a prisoner in your own mind and then being in a prison? Like, real shit. Like, think about it. You are already a prisoner. You're trying to get free of your mind. And now they lock you down. It's almost a death sentence. It's almost like hospice for a mental patient, honestly. And I know I'm getting passionate about it, but it pisses me off. We have so much potential in the Virgin Islands, so much potential. But the leaders are very short-sighted. And those who do have some foresight, they don't even have as much of a role to be able to really affect the kind of necessary change or start certain balls to get it, certain balls rolling. So, once again, the government of the Virgin Islands, we need to really, really not just look at the person on the corner and say, oh, he crazy, he want a quarter. Like, that's not good enough. it also isn't good enough for the free food or whatever that you provide or whatever. We need mental health facilities. Top of the line. It's the Virgin Islands, for God's sake. Like, why not make proper facilities that would help with the infrastructure and would bring money as well? You don't think that people with mental health issues would love to go to the Virgin Islands and see and have and that be their background and playground to do the work to become better mentally? Like, come on. And that goes for physically as well. We have no proper like major athletic facility, no proper like big gyms. Like, what are we really doing? And I know this has, you know, I'm drifting a little bit, but not really. We still talking about the same thing. Mind, body, and spirit all connects. So, yeah. Medical marijuana is cool. I'm for it. Recreational marijuana is cool. I'm for it. All this other stuff is cool. But, like, let's not ignore the biggest, one of the biggest things that we have issues with right now. All right. So, Sean Presha Kian. Chelsea was our next. I don't even think I'm in chronological order at this point, but let's just finish it out. Chelsea is a mental health advocate. She pretty much her whole brand, her whole being, who she is like justice and mental health, pretty much. And you quickly learn about Chelsea that she advocates for anything therapy. She wants us as Black people to, and I quote, if you go to the gym to work out and be healthy and care about your body, why don't you give your mind the same level of workout, the same level of care? And when she said that, that shit, you know, it was profound just for like the obviousness of it. Like, yeah, why wouldn't we want to make sure that our mental is in tip-top shape? You know, I go to a gym 2, 3, 4 times a week because I want to look good. I want to feel good. Why not go to a therapist 2, 3 times a week or whatever you can afford? Why not find someone to talk to? And then we talked about excuses that we have, which, you know, I can't afford it or, you know, I don't know where to start. The same computer and the same Instagram and the same social media that we're on, you know, for all the different reasons, we can utilize it to find help when it comes to these things as well. Let's stop making excuses. I get it. It might not be in the budget for this month, but maybe next month. Maybe next month you could switch some things around and you can look into getting some help. But don't let it be an excuse. Don't let one of our brethren have to die for us to think, oh shit, I need to get my shit together. Nah, let's be proactive instead of reactive. Let's normalize it. Let's normalize mental health awareness. Let's normalize mental health attention. Also with Chelsea, we talked about mental health as it applies in the church. And that was an interesting conversation as well. And it really shows that there's a lot of work to be done in the church, but there are some people in the church as well who are doing their best to make sure that there are ministries to be able to deal with this, to be able to have people, professionals in those positions. Because at the end of the day, you can have a ministry for everything else. But like, we all know somebody in a church that goes to church with us that suffers with mental health. Maybe, and once again, it doesn't have to have a look. They don't have to be bugging out. They don't have to be publicly, you know, showing signs. But if you talk to them, you know, and you just know there's something inside you that tells you, man, I wish you would go seek some help. And the church is an entity that has a lot of resources available because of one, it's a church. So even with like the way that they file taxes and certain things, like the church is a very great entity that I feel should be proactive in mental health. Because I feel like they are the certain yellow and red tape that the average person outside of like an entity that's a mental health facility would have to abide by. A church can find ways around it to make sure that there's funding. So like, let's not ignore it. Let's not make an excuse. Pastors, elders, it doesn't matter. Conferences. This is a cry out to you all, for you all to be able to, once again, carve a niche out in your different, health ministries, and have a subsection of it be dedicated to mental health. Last but not least, we have Danielle Joseph. Cuz, as I affectionately call her, Danielle, to me was perfect to have her as last, because she is like the apex of what I think mental health reform, mental health awareness should look like. Danielle is someone who suffers from mental breakdowns and has had to be admitted to mental health facilities. So she has literally been in the system, been within the system, in and out of the system, and still functioning like a regular human being at a high level with her own company as a teacher. And she shows that, look, yeah, I have mental health issues, and yeah, this is my journey, but I'm not ashamed of it. And she's finally getting the confidence to come out and speak on it. Because, of course, something like that is very hard to talk about. Because you have these public outbursts, and she talked about it, how she's had outbursts on Facebook and stuff and can't even remember. But she said some things that, you know, if she was in her proper frame of mind at the time, she would never say. But at the end of the day, her even coming on the podcast, and she told me this was like the first time she really had this conversation publicly like this, it's showing that she is becoming, she's learning to embrace her flaws, her imperfections, and doing the work. And her episode got so many reviews. It got so much responses. So many, I'm proud of you. Because of people who are a part of her community, who are a part of her village, that know what she's been through. And for her to, just like everyone else on here, have her own brand, her own company, her own, you know, she's an entrepreneur. She's a part of the community in a positive light. And your mental can get so crazy on you that you have to go and seek that type of level of help, where you have to go to a mental health facility, you have to take medication. She, you know, it has to be applauded and admired. And another thing I recognize about her was that her level of spirituality and her really equating a lot of mental health issues to spiritual warfare. And I thought that was really, really interesting, because I really just thought she would have more approached it from a more of a technical standpoint, or a doctor and a, you know, patient standpoint. But, you know, that realm, which is a lot of people don't understand. Shit, I'm not going to sit here and be like I'm a professional about it, but I do know there's a lot of truth to that. You know, if you're a Christian, or if you believe, you know, in the Bible, you know that the Bible speaks on the devil being at war every second of every day for us, you know, to try and trying to see who he may devour. And he's going to attack where he can attack, you know? So the mental, which essentially operates everything about us, it essentially is the CPU to who we are. That's somewhere where you would attack. Because it seems that once that goes, your existence is in question at that point. So, you know, you know, fight off bad energy, keep bad-minded people away, edify your mind and read and protect it and strengthen it like a muscle. Once again, with the workout analogy, like, work it out as much as you work out your physical body. And if you don't work out your physical body, get to it. Do something. Move. You know what I'm saying? Get active and activate your mind as well. I hope this series was as much of a blessing to y'all as it was to me. I hope you all got some level of value from it, as I always say. I'm back in recording again. We're going to have the next season coming up. And I hope, you know, it's going to be, you know, I don't hope. I know it's going to be bigger and better. Just trying to elevate the brand, elevate the podcast, give y'all the highest level of what I can as it applies to being a flying intellectual. You know, what that means to me, once again, look good, you feel good. You're as young as your mentality, you're as young as you feel, and thinking outside of the box. Informing, inspiring, interacting with your fellow man. You know what I'm saying? It's a network, it's a movement. And for everybody who's rocking with me and been supporting, nothing but respect. I appreciate every one of y'all who reach out, who likes something, who leaves a comment, who leaves a review. You know, it means the world to me, and I hope I'm making y'all proud in what I'm doing, man. Until next time, signing off. It's your boy, Kem. Peace. Yo, man. Thanks for tuning into my podcast. Please don't forget to review, rate, and share. That would help me out a lot, and it helps get the platform bigger and better. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's @FlyYoungIntellectual, @FlyYoungIntellectual. Hit me on Twitter, @MisterMister_FYI. Connect with me, man. 2020, we're doing bigger and better things. If you really like the platform, tell somebody about it, man. Until next time, peace.